Now we've got the story of one woman's journey home to East Africa after 25 years in exile.
I left Ethiopia in 1976, 2 years after the army deposed Emperor Haile Selassie and set a powerful wave of turmoil and state-sponsored violence crashing across the country. Along with countless others, my parents were swept up in that wave, and soon the life they had built together had been completely washed away. In the summer of 1976, my parents, my sisters, and I found ourselves abruptly deposited in the United States, stripped of our possessions and expectations, and left to start over financially, professionally, emotionally.
Rebecca Haile's parents fled Ethiopia 2 years after a brutal coup. Her father, a leading academic in the capital, Addis Ababa, was shot by army troops. The bullet left him paralyzed. Rebecca and her family eventually settled in a small Midwestern town. She adjusted to her new life in America, but it wasn't easy.
Central Minnesota, when we got there in 1976, there really were no minorities to speak of, let alone Ethiopian. So I think assimilation was really the only option available to us. And fortunately for me and for my sister, we had learned English earlier, so we didn't have the language barrier. Mm-hmm. The decision ultimately to go back came as I grew into an adult, wanting to test my memories that I had kept. I left when I was 11, so I really had very clear childhood memories, test them against the modern life, to see the country that I had left. I was thinking a lot about culture and identity mediation. I mean, I am very American, but of course my core, my family, my values are a function of having grown up in an Ethiopian family, and my extended family is all Ethiopian, and many of them are still there.
25 years later, Rebecca Haile returned to the country of her birth with what she calls all her Americanisms in tow. She chronicles her trip in a new book. It's called Held at a Distance, My Rediscovery of Ethiopia. She shared her journey with NPR's Tony Cox.
My first entree into the country was through my family, my remaining family. My grandmother still lives in the house where my mother was born. So that family welcomed me as if I had just left the day before. So there was no holding myself at a distance from that family. And because I was able to enter back in through their protection, as it were, it was really a wonderful experience to see these family members that I had missed for so long. And then to go back to places like the house where, you know, my father was arrested and shot, it was the place where we had sort of set down roots, and to have lost that and to see it again, this big granite stable house, which I had held in my mind all these years, as a place that had sort of given me some kind of a foundation to carry through with me, it was really meaningful and satisfying.
Let's talk about your return to the United States after this visit and whether or not, because I'm curious about this, once you've made the trip back and you have returned to the United States, does that trip home complicate your daily experiences here as an American now?
Interesting. Well, I think I live in New York, and I think that that's very much by choice. New York is a truly international city. I live there with my husband, who is not Ethiopian, but who also is an immigrant to the United States. And I think New York is a place which permits people to have multiple identities and welcomes that. It's international. It's multiple identities on many fronts, not just language or religion or culture. And I'm fully American, and I participate in American civic life. The challenge of that trip back for me, now that I know that there is space for me to be Ethiopian, in part because my realization as I came back is that the number of people who have affected, who are on the margins in the way I had thought myself to be, sort of an outsider to the culture, there's actually very many of us now. And I think that we are able to redefine what it means to be Ethiopian because of the number of immigrants and the number of Ethiopians born here who feel a tie to Ethiopia, have sort of redefined what it means. So there is space there. So the challenge is how to engage, help Ethiopia forward in a way that honors that history and connection and identity.
Some of the things that you write in the book, particularly in the introduction, about the current government, not only the government that forced your parents out of the country, but the government that's in place now, you have some very critical things to say about it. Are you concerned at all that sort of the legacy of outspokenness that is part of your family history could create problems for you even now and for your family there now?
It's a very repressive government, and there are many who suffer under it, both in my family and others. And I think that the obligation to speak out very much rests on people, on my shoulders and others who are in a country where it is possible to do that without risk of immediate repercussion. My father was among those tried in absentia for the violence that came out of the 2005 elections. So yes, it is a repressive government. It has a human rights record that has been detailed by Amnesty International and others, and it's something that I think Ethiopians in the diaspora have an obligation, and many do speak out against.
From a cultural and nationalistic standpoint, Rebecca, what do you want for your children? What do you want them to be?
Well, I wrote in the dedication that the book was dedicated to them and their cousins, my siblings' children, who I think, or I write that I hope that they will be able to decide for themselves what relationship that they will have with Ethiopia. And I think it's hard to look forward and see what the world will be like after the continuing sort of pressures of globalization and the continuing movement of people. Perhaps my children will be completely New Yorkers, and that would be fine with me if that's what they choose or are able to choose. Maybe Ethiopia will choose them. Maybe other parts of their heritage will choose them. I think it would be a loss for Ethiopia if they felt no connection whatsoever, but I do think that's something that they will have to decide for themselves.
Here's my final question for you. You know, you can look at things that happen in your life from a lot of different perspectives. And my question for you is, as you look at your life and how you were uprooted from your homeland in Ethiopia and dropped literally into the United States, and now you've had the opportunity to go back and reconnect, as you look at that experience, do you feel a sense that perhaps you were robbed of the opportunity to grow up in Ethiopia, or do you see it now perhaps as an opportunity that was provided you to have a completely different life?
It's hard to pick one or the other. I think that for so many years, I felt the loss. I felt the loss of community that I write about in there. I felt uprooted, the best word I can use to describe it. So many decisions that we had to make, so many judgments were made without the framework that I could see that my classmates had, those who were sort of better rooted in the States. At the same time, I am quite aware that my life, having come here at 11, is so dramatically different from the lives that are led by the majority of people who are left in Ethiopia today. I think I write in the book that I don't regret leaving Ethiopia. I can't even regret the circumstances under which we left Ethiopia, because I know that the years after 1976 when we left, which were 1977 and 1978, the Red Terror, those were the years in which there were literally bodies on the streets. And I miss those years. And I grew up here, and we had the opportunity to regain our footing, as I said, and I'm quite aware of all the good fortune I've had in terms of education and other things that have come my way. So I'm quite grateful for having been able to grow up here and have all the things that I have. I know what I lost, but I think the trip also made me realize that a lot of that I did carry with me, the sort of values, the family affection, the love, all of the things that helped sort of regain the footing here weren't completely lost to me.
So it would be okay if I were to say to you now, welcome home.
I will take both countries at home, and I would thank you for the welcome.
Rebecca, thank you for coming on. I appreciated the conversation.
Tony, thank you.
Rebecca Hailey is the author of Held at a Distance, My Rediscovery of Ethiopia. She spoke with NPR's Tony Cox. And you can read the first part of her essay, The Engineer, at nprnewsandnotes.org.